Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to the Wise Men Say podcast. Sunderland have beaten Crewe Alexandra 4-0 away from home. We're here to look at that and ahead to Saturday's victory against Charlton Athletic. I'm joined by Vienna's number one trebles connoisseur, Tom Walsh. How are we, Tom?
I'm good. I'm a bit disappointed at the lack of trebles bars in Vienna, but I'm back in the UK next week solely for drinking trebles. So that's
just
good.
To enjoy a few trebles after work for me, I think.
Just a few, you know, when you get home from work, you know, you need to unwind a bit. And I find there's no better way to unwind than stepping into Rafferty's and having like a nice treble gin, just, you know, take the edge off.
No, I agree. We'll come on. We've got a few questions at the end of the pod, and I'm sure we'll mention Rafferty's. So we'll come on to this more later. But we're also joined by a very excited Jimmy Ray. Hello, Jim. How are we?
I'm very excited. Yeah, I've been to two excellent away days in 4 days. So my throat hurts, my head hurts, my body hurts. But I love Sunderland even more than normal after those two.
Absolutely buzzing.
What a pathetic start to this.
Yeah.
That's not what we're coming.
I've already messed it up. I'm not starting it again.
positivity.
Yeah, I don't. That's probably enough of that. But
I'll try.
Yeah, well, we'll get on to the immediately to the source of Jim's excitement. 4-0 last night, Jim. You went down driving like a loser. But yeah, how was it? Was it good? Was it as good as it seemed on the stream that I definitely purchased?
It was first of all, the only thing about driving is that I could only have three trebles for the game as well.
Yeah, so,
well,
of course. You can only have the nine shots of alcohol.
No half time trebles either.
No, that's good.
But especially because Crewe weren't serving beer in the ground and tried to make a point that they should advertise the fact outside the ground. Not so much for me, but for the non-driving people, if they're not going to serve booze in the ground, please advise people of that so they don't get in there early and then can't buy any trebles or otherwise. But other than that, the game was absolutely fantastic. It was, to be fair to Crewe, actually, I thought they were all right. Like, they were very incisive, but they played the ball well. I think the stats back up, they had, you know, a decent bit of possession. It was a bit hairy at times before we scored. But once we got that first goal, I mean, you know, we just moved from like first to second gear, and I think that was too much for them. If you like, we played some excellent football. The move for the second goal was brilliant. The pressing, the control at the back, the being so close to the pitch, you could really hear how vocal Flanagan was, Hoffman was at times as well. It was really, really controlled, and you know, just really lethal. I mean, the goals in the second half, obviously the corner that we won. Pritchard got injured in the process of winning it and then sadly went off, but he did well for that, plus also for the move for the first goal. And then Ross Stewart's just clinical finishing. He could have had a hat-trick, to be fair, if he hadn't tried to pass to McGeady, I think, in the second half as well. But then the boy Diaku comes on and just, you know, steals the show. What a cameo that was. Sprinting clear. Bit of a dodgy touch, but could have almost turned out that he meant it, given that it put him just far enough ahead of the tackle to be able to stick the ball. With, you know, I mean, the power, I was right behind that shot, sort of on the angle, and the power he hit that with was severe. And there was not a chance any keeper was saving that, even though it wasn't near post. And great celebration as well with the fans, and all in all, just class, basically. And
so a nice evening.
They stopped drumming after about, you know, 15 minutes as well, which was even better because they had one of those standard bad sort of small drums that tries to imitate the drums that you hear in big great stadiums on the continent, but just sounds absolutely awful when they're singing Adam Johnson's song while drumming.
That's good.
Well,
so they stopped doing that as well after a bit, so that was nice.
That's good.
Well, I don't know what you thought, Tom. That's nicely summed up, Jim. We could probably leave it there, I guess. So thanks for listening.
Call it a day. Off for a treble.
Off for a couple of nice trebles. I watched the game as well, and I do slightly disagree, Jim. I thought Crewe were awful. Yeah. I thought they were, maybe it looked different in the ground, but I thought that they just kind of couldn't do basic things. And I wasn't particularly surprised at that, given who their left back was. But I don't know what you thought, Tom. Do you, on the side of Crewe being shit or good?
They look like how their position suggests. I thought they were absolutely awful. They did have a 10-minute spell
in the
first half, and I was thinking because we started like really well, peppered their goals with a few shots, and then like as we tend to do, we let them back in. I was like, please don't let these score because these are absolutely awful. Unfortunately, they didn't because they are awful, but mainly I thought we played really good stuff, really good kind of interchange of passing, always looking on the front foot, and it was just quite a really enjoyable match to watch. Thought Dan Neil again superb, really impressed with Pritchard before he went off injured, and yeah, I mean the opponents were garbage, but you have to put this garbage to the sword.
That's it.
No,
I
was just gonna say we've said it a few times this season on these pods, and we've not beaten garbage before. And I was watching it last night, that game, thinking, oh, we're just going to win this, and it's going to be fairly straightforward. Sorry, Jim, I cut you off there.
Yeah, I was just going to get Tom listed a couple of players who I agree with played really well. I thought I'd add another one to that list, and O'Brien as well. I don't know how it came across on the screen, but in person he was. You know, everything from his body language, he just looked really up for it. His touches look even silkier in real life than they do on the screen. And he had the beating of pretty much any of their defenders. You know, he was skinning people. He was knocking flicks around the corner. He had kind of like a free roll, which I think suited him well. And I know people, you know, his opinions of O'Brien obviously vary quite wildly among the fan base. I think most people can agree on certain nights against certain teams when he gets to this kind of position where he's kind of off the striker, he's not really out wide, but he kind of can do what he wants and he has a bit of time and space to move. He is effective, and he certainly was last night.
That thing about, like, this has come up a lot. I've noticed this, that people are saying that the fans have a split opinion of Aidan O'Brien. I didn't think that was... I never knew that was such a talking point at the moment.
Well, it was a bit last night because, I mean, a couple of the people who were near me sort of were saying, oh, he's crap, he's shite, whatever, O'Brien. But then, oh, he had a good game today sort of thing afterwards. I heard that at Gillingham as well, actually. People, when he scored, I heard one guy say, I can't believe he scored, he's crap. And obviously that's one person, but I have heard and I've seen sort of online as well. So I'm not sure it's a major talking point, but there are definitely people who for some reason don't rate him. Don't really see why that is.
It's a bit of a weird one because the past few weeks he's been good. I mean, you know, he wasn't in the team.
Totally agree.
In the team at the start of the season, but like since
he's in on merit really now. I mean, he's, you know, he's scoring, he's assisting, he's dangerous, and yeah, I mean that certainly wasn't my opinion, but I have definitely heard it, and hopefully it is just a minority because he certainly doesn't deserve it based on this season.
I think the issues partly with him was when we brought him in, I think a lot of people thought we were bringing in like an out-and-out striker maybe. And he's finishing, you know, he got a nice goal on Saturday, but he's finishing. If he could finish, he wouldn't be playing for us because he's technically really good. Oh, that's good that he's doing that now. He wouldn't be playing for us because he wouldn't be at this level.
He had that one-on-one and then the one where he hit it over the bar and ran into the stands and got shouted at by an old man, which is quite funny as well.
And that was great.
If you watch that back, you actually see a guy sort of stand up and turn and just scream in his face as he's walking back down the stairs.
The good friend Dan Howden, getting his obligatory mention on this podcast. The good bet man. Oh, he were fuming when it went 3-0. He's like, this is never happening. But he, yeah, he just said that these Crewe fans are just so weird. Just really, yeah, he said it's a weird place, and it's they've got a really weird set of fans.
Weird flags as well, like just sort of like, there's that famous Born Crewe, Living Crewe, Dying Crewe flag that you referenced, and then there's another one as well, which it was just it just said like Crewe is the place for me or something like that, with a big picture of just like some weird kind of like, looked like a medieval type like badge or whatever. And it was like, what is God? And then they had the drum that they stopped drumming, and the songs, I mean, I was sort of down the other end, so I was just on the left of the halfway line as the camera was, so I couldn't hear their fans too much. But having watched the highlights back, some of their chanting was definitely questionable as well.
Well, you know, whatever.
Well, some of their defending was also questionable. The first goal was really good work out wide, and just O'Brien again, just applying the pressure to make that idiot defender.
Oh, he was awful.
Hilariously.
He had a bad game, that guy. I didn't exactly feel sorry for him, but you know when like someone can, you can see in his body language, he knew himself. Like, and you can only really see that in the games where you're really close to the pitch, but he was just hating every second of that, as was their right back as well, who then got skinned there consecutively by Sirkin, then Hume, and just ended up fouling Hume repeatedly because he got sick of it.
Oh, he should have been sent off.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, and he got ruined for that.
You could hear the impact on Hume's ankle from his tackle. That was how
he had two
terrible.
He had two bites at him, and he was like, and then the second one, Christ! And then he was out for a throw. I was like, I mean, I know we're 4-0 up, but it's like, come on, you can't be doing that.
Yeah, like, it definitely can't have been our throw that as well. Like, that was the one decision it cannot have been.
And the linesman was doing that thing where, like, everyone was sort of, people near the linesman were sort of speaking to him and shouting at him. And he was, like, deliberately not looking at any of our fans, just, like, staring into the middle distance because he obviously knew that he'd sort of bottled it, and when he should have been telling the ref that was a red card, and he didn't. So, very irritating.
Well, funny there was a word.
The annoying thing is, though, like, tackles like that could have easily injured you again. And yes, we're 4-0 up, and it doesn't matter because you didn't get injured, but like, there's no excuse to put tackles in like that, especially like you say, Tom. You had two bites of him, and the second time you got him, and it's like, what are you doing? You're 4-0 down. Why are you trying to injure our players?
No, well, it's the last thing we need as well, more injuries. But obviously, Pritchard did go off with what looked like a knock, but he did really well for the second goal. Stewart nodded at the back post. Nice ball through. And then a lovely ball over by Neil, who burst forward again.
It was such a lovely move, that. Just, that's the kind of, I think that's the kind of football we're aspiring to play at the moment. This quick, like, on the deck, you know, great movement, taking two defenders out of the equation with one pass. And it's just like, Dan Neil's just a fantastic footballer.
So good. Yeah.
And it's like, I know you always said it about Winchester, Matthew, but we are so very lucky to have Dan Neil.
We are. We are very lucky to have Dan Neil, and very much about Winchester.
Of course.
It was great being so close to Winchester in the first half. I could literally nearly touch him. I was like, this is my life mate. Like, Carl Winchester was right there.
It was an excellent tackle he made. He did really well to get back for that. And they were breaking at that point. Third goal, Stewart again, just a corner that they just didn't deal with, but again, a nice finish.
Tidy finish, yeah. I mean, you know,
the crew was so terrible.
Yeah.
Jim, I can't believe you thought they were good, man.
I just thought they were so bad. I didn't think they were good. Yeah, I mean, I kind of maybe phrased that badly. Like, I don't think they were.
Wait.
What I mean is, like, they put some decent moves together, and they played some nice football going forward. But at the back, they were terrible. I admit that. But I just thought, watching it, I was like, because they moved it quite nicely, and also, like I said, the stats sort of like they had more passes than us, more possession. I know that doesn't mean anything other than that.
Yeah, but they're shit.
They could. Yeah, there they were. Totally. All right, that was a bad one for me.
Yeah.
Crew was shit. Absolute jobbers. Worst
we
team
scored
ever
from
seen.
Their corner.
Yeah, so, I mean,
which was something we've not seen for ages. Like a breakaway like
great,
that. That was
great breakaway.
Diaco did so. I mean, he did so well there. But it was just like he gave the defense so many opportunities for him to not score, and then the goalkeeper just kind of like kept walking backwards into his net. And then
watched it in.
And then watched it in. Just watched it go in.
It was a nice finish. He did really do well, but he looked hilarious. He looked at no point like he had that under control.
No.
And he had the ball for all of the pitch.
He was moving so quickly as well. These arms, like, when he went past him, it was like, woof, like that, and you could just see the crew defenders like bubbling after him. Like,
Callum McFadden, by the way. That was McFadden.
And then, the keeper kind of almost sort of jumped out of the way of it in the end more than anything else, didn't he? I mean, that was... But to let me guys, the power in the shot, I think... no keeper at this level certainly is going to save a shot with that power.
No.
He didn't make much of a fist of it, did he? Let's be fair.
Nah, that was Jussi Laskelainen's kid, that. Who's in
was
there.
It?
He needs to hand back to his dad. Yeah. He needs to learn how to save shots, isn't he?
Well,
Jussi would have saved that.
He would have definitely saved that. It was a nice finish. It was nice to see Colin McFadden last night playing for someone who wasn't us.
Yeah, so good when it's not us. Because it's like,
yeah, I just didn't like him getting booed though. I didn't enjoy.
I mean, that's so laughable that it's like.
I was like, can we not boo him? Like,
he's just like,
there's no need to boo him.
Yeah, just like, he didn't do anything wrong.
No,
like,
he
didn't criticize the club. He didn't like he did things wrong on the pitch, but he was never.
Yeah, very much so.
He didn't like come out and slated the club and. Like, I mean, 30th minute, people were still booing him. I'm like, can you just stop booing him now? Like, I feel sorry for him.
I think I would have liked him more if he had come out and slagged the club off. Because it was like, then I don't have to actually remember you for any of your footballing ability. I can just remember that you said that we're shite. And I was like, that would have been fine. But he's just like, he looks hilarious.
Yeah, he does look hilarious. He always looks lost.
The picture of him when we won the Papa John, and he's just got like this broken face. This kind of like Kirk
flops on.
Yeah, Kirk from Coronation Street face, all like bloodied and bruised, but with the big Papa John trophy.
Like he could be a member of Kirk's family.
I think we said last season that he reminded me of. Remember Graham from Coronation Street, the window cleaner? Very much like him.
Yes.
Any window cleaner, he just looks like he could be anyone's window cleaner. Like if he knocked on the door asking for a fiver, he wouldn't be like. That's weird. He'd be like, yeah, that can kind of seem.
That man is a professional footballer.
Yeah. And played 34 games for Sunderland last season.
Oh, God. The thing is, we could have gone up with that team and he would have been part of that promotion team.
It's great, but, isn't it? Bring him back.
He did put his body on the line, to be fair, like in the Papa John's.
Don't say he was okay, because he wasn't. He was one of the... Probably the worst.
He's made a couple of statements here.
Yeah.
And you don't want to go down the road of Callum McFadden was all right.
McFadden FC.
It's a bold statement, if any.
It is a bold. I'm not gonna broach that one. I'm just gonna say that I didn't like him being booed because I felt sorry for him.
We say a lot of dumb things on this podcast. we later regret. Like, there is no takeover, and Phil Parkinson is my friend.
Who is Dan Neal?
Who is Dan Neal?
He's played one pass, etc.
Played one pass, yada yada. But we're not, I'm sorry, but saying Callum McFadden was okay is a bit too extreme, even for this level of broadcasting.
I'll take that.
Yeah,
I'll take
that. If you want to praise someone, Jim, why don't you praise our goalkeeper? He made another.
He's just a legend. I mean, it was a similar type save to his one at Gillingham. But by the way, can I just say, watching that thing, he saved Gillingham live. I cannot believe he saved that because it was down the other end, and it was one of those where it was almost slow motion, like it was definitely going in. And oh man! And again, last night he's just absolutely class, and he's asking for when there's people closing him down, and he's still asking for passes. I mean, how many keepers at this level are actively asking for the ball to be played back to them? Mm. And he's playing. I know his long kicking needs some work, but his distribution short and quick and short passing back out again is really, really good. And you can hear him talking, and he's really, like Flanagan keeps going over to him and speaking to him. And I think he's sort of bringing him along a bit like he does with Doyle. And yeah, I just think he's absolutely class. And I mean, you can see immediately why however you want to phrase it, he's been at Bayern because a club of that stature. For a young lad who's never really played much first team football or men's football, if you like, he's doing really, really well.
And it also shows that we did need to buy someone like him.
Absolutely.
Because it's like, I mean, no disrespect to like Anthony Patterson, but he just wasn't ready to play for Sunderland. That's why he's gone to like Notts County. And Lee Burge, I mean, had a very good season last year. But you can never really hang your hat on that he's going to be great because he's always got a clanger in him. And Hoffman just seems more, so much more assured. I mean, well, he had a shaky debut, but I think he's learned from that. And
I'm loath to praise goalkeepers, but he.
Why?
No, he seemed. That's boring, aren't they? But he.
They tend to be the maddest ones on the team.
But he.
Not mad enough.
But yeah, I like him. No, he's good. And that was a great save last night from Mandarin. And that one on Saturday was mental. That. But no, another good win on the road. It's nice back to back away wins because it was looking as if obviously we won all of our home games, but the away form at the beginning of the season was patchy. We lost to Burton, we got hammered at Portsmouth.
We hadn't won since Burton, had we, until Saturday? I mean, I couldn't believe it when I heard that. That was I was actually shocked when I read it. I didn't realise it, but yeah, we've turned it around.
So it was nice to get them. Obviously, the Portsmouth game had certain mitigating circumstances around it, but nice to get two wins on the road in 4 days.
And also the way we're reacting to defeats at the moment is really impressive. Like, I mean, the two games we've lost in the league so far, we've gone on a tear after it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I mean,
that's key because you will lose games. Is how you react.
No, yeah, of course. And it's just like you don't want to get into that bogged down. It's like you lose one and you draw a couple, and then then it's like, oh, hang on, we've only won like 1-8 at the moment.
Well, that's what killed us in the Ross, I think, wasn't it? It was every time you go on a decent run of wins, or you know, at least not losing. And as soon as we lost, it would take us a few weeks to get back up again. Mm. And contrary to his streaky reputation, I think so far. We're not being too streaky insofar as we're not, every time we're losing, it's not starting a streak of losses. We're certainly having a streak of wins, but we're not.
Well,
we're reacting because I think the whole thing was with Johnston, he doesn't react well when you're losing. His teams wants to lose once, tend to lose again and again. And like you say, Tom, like, that's not happened yet this year. So,
I'm just saying. It's
yes,
just like,
yeah.
Well, there's a long way to go, but I mean, I think that, you know, it seems that it's not by accident because, like you say, we're not just luckily winning the next game. We've comfortably. You know, we've put that Portsmouth game to bed by scoring 6 goals in 2 away games. Admittedly, not against the big names of the division, but you still have to go there and win. And we've done it. And I don't, certainly more so Saturdays maybe than last night's, but I don't think we definitely would have won both of these two games under previous management in previous seasons.
No, well, we wouldn't have. Probably wouldn't have won.
The mentality wasn't there. I don't think the confidence and mentality was there.
I also don't think the players were there like in previous seasons. I don't think we've had, this team is like a lot better than it was like say like last season. I mean, like our fullback is not Callum McFadden, so it
was
already,
okay.
He was all right last night, apparently.
last night.
Tim getting slandered. You've started by saying that you thought, crew, you've opened yourself up.
Yeah,
I mean,
you've done this to yourself. I'm sorry.
Before we go to break, Sunderland have played 18 games this season in all competitions and won 15.
Wow.
Of them.
I mean,
so
it's not bad,
though,
is it?
That's kind
no,
of
no, it's not. And well, we'll take a quick break and then look ahead to hopefully our next victory. At home to Charlton on Saturday.
The Wise Men Say podcast is brought to you in association with From the Terraces. For a 10% discount on all products, enter the discount code WMS10 at the checkout stage. While you do that, check out the From the Terraces podcast presented by Matt Keeling and Rory Fallow, available from your usual podcast platform. For more information, just search for From the Terraces.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found.
LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back to the Wise Men Say podcast. Sunderland face Charlton again for what seems like the 4,000th time in the last few years. But it's not the Charlton of recent seasons, by all accounts. They're managed by Tom's good friend, Nigel Adkins, who appears to be coming to the end of his reign at Charlton. There's talk of him getting the sack, Tom. I'm not surprised, because they've won 2 from 13 and find themselves in 22nd position with 9 points.
That's not very good. I mean, it could end up being a very bittersweet day for me on Saturday. I mean, obviously, if we win, that's good, but it could spell the end of a lovely man's hard work all gone to rack and ruin. And it's kind of like, you know, you don't like seeing a mate in trouble. And so, like, no. If we do win, and if the worst comes to the worst, I'll have to phone him up, or maybe be like drop into his DMs. I've noticed he stopped doing his like motivational videos.
I was just going to say, his videos have stopped. That was the point where I wondered if he was all right, because his videos were
classic. He's not okay.
When he just filmed himself open his cupboard and get a cup of positivity out of the cupboard or whatever.
So funny.
But just absolutely buzzing off mangoes. Like, I mean, that's what you want on a Tuesday, rainy Tuesday morning. Is Nigel Adkins like just holding a mango and just say it's the best thing in the world?
I mean, if only the Charlton fans could see that. I mean, I have zero sympathy for their absolute loser of a chairman. The quintessential like divorced dad kind of energy of a chairman. But I will feel sorry for Big Nigel.
I feel like him and Gareth
a solitary tear as we body them on Saturday.
I think Sandgaard should appoint Gareth Ainsworth. I think they would get.
Oh God,
that
imagine
would be a combination. That would, wouldn't it? I mean, dad rock chairman, dad rock manager.
Just
a fake denim away kit. I can imagine something like that coming in. Or
just like every fan that comes through the door gets like a free entry to like his In Excess tribute band afterwards.
Please, will you come? Please,
please. Oh yeah, no. Yeah, sure, Gareth.
He's our EP.
It's our EP. Yeah. It's like Ainsworth wearing a linen shirt, like looking longfully into the distance.
With the Charlton flag hanging over their
ankle. Sandgaard doing like a mad sort of slash style guitar solo in the background, like put all in shadow. You can't actually see it.
And all out of tune.
All out of tune, yeah.
So they lost last night at home to Accrington, which, whoever you are, is not very good, is it?
No.
They did beat Fleetwood the other week at the beginning of October. But they also have George Dobson. He's made 5 appearances this season.
The only other team they've beaten is Crewe. So
yeah, well, I think that, and that says it all. Crewe are all right. Hey.
Well, I'm sure Crewe gave them a good game.
The left back they've got's not bad.
Some idiot said they gave us a good game last night. I don't know who that was, but I mean,
well, Charlton. I don't know where I'm going with this now. You've thrown me off.
Essentially, Charlton are not very good, and we should
Charlton
be
aren't very good at all.
Pumping these. I'm quite surprised, actually, because I don't know why, because it's always when you see Charlton, you think the name alone, you assume they're going to be good.
Yeah.
A bit like Portsmouth. I mean, like, I know they pumped us.
They're 17th now, Portsmouth.
Their past 2 games in the league, they got, like, shipped 4 goals in each. So it's just like, they're not good. They just can only play on swimming pools.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah,
and Charlton lost 4-1 at home to Bolton the other week.
God,
who've since been bodied by
everyone. By the sounds of it,
everyone. Wigan,
and their manager came out and said they were the best team in the league as well. Then Wigan beat them 4-0 like 2 days later, which has got to be which is pretty much their biggest rivals as well. So that's got to be
their manager. Is their manager Ian Evatt?
He's not good. Not a good dude. That guy. I don't like him.
Yeah, so, well, I agree with that, Jim. Just touching on our team then, Pritchard did okay last night. He
he was more certainly more involved than he has been. But he did go off with an injury. I've not seen, obviously it's only Wednesday, so I've not seen any sort of pre-match stuff.
Well, I saw something today that said he'd hurt his neck and he may well be back in time for Saturday. It was, I assume one of those looked like a precautionary type of thing that he was taking off. I don't know if it's genuine or definite, but Johnson seemed to allude that he may be in contention, so hope he is.
Well, it'd be good for him to get a run of games, especially, well, we don't have many options, obviously. Embleton's still suspended. McGeady came back last night, though, so
that
gave us a bit more shape, I thought. Like, we just looked a lot better with him in the team. Not for the reasons we have done in the past, just by having his sort of presence
in the team.
Yeah. He's more of a complement to the team now rather than a be-all and end-all of this team, which is really, it's such a sea change from last season where all we did was, please hope McGeady can do something.
If he didn't play well, we didn't really win, did we? Whereas now it's like, we don't, like you say, he adds another layer of quality on top, but we can still do well without him, which is kind of probably what it always should have been with a player of his age. I mean, good as he is, we should never have been relying on him like we did. And it's pleasing to see that sort of seems to be coming to an end.
No, it really is. And hopefully he's fit enough to stay in the team, McGeady. Midfield, Dan Neil again last night, I thought was
excellent. Dan Neil. First name on that team sheet.
Yeah. He is, really. And then obviously Evans, I presume, still out. I don't think we're going to see a lot of him, are we?
Poor as 09 was, and he was very poor at Gillingham on Saturday. He was better yesterday. I think he
broke stuff up quite well.
Yeah, he did. So if he just limits himself to trying to not dive in when he doesn't need to and not getting too over enthusiastic and just plays the game as it is, like he did yesterday, he's fine. But he always worries me that he's going to try and do too much, which is ultimately what led to him conceding the penalty at Gillingham, and also what led to him sort of struggling with his passing as well. I think sometimes it all gets into his head a bit much, but last night he did seem a lot better. And let's be honest, Corey Emmett doesn't fit yet, so he's probably going to have to be 09 again, which is fine. And then I guess you're going to have, if Pritchard's fit, then it's Pritchard, and if it's not, then something's going to have to be rejigged, I think, isn't it?
So it's like Evans, I'm just thinking about Evans. He's like, so he was out for ages, then he came back and played about 20 minutes at like Portsmouth or like, and now he's out again for like another, how long?
I don't know if he was he rushed back and he wasn't actually fit.
It's his calf again, isn't it?
Yeah,
I mean, in fairness, we were warned about this, that this was
going to
happen.
Yeah, it's just annoying because at some point 09's going to have to get his shoulder fixed.
Yeah,
I'm hoping that
we are Evans, quite light in the middle.
Yeah. I hope he's going through a bad patch at the minute in terms of injuries, and I don't think he'll be like this all season. Obviously, this isn't a great start for him, but he does average like 20 games a season. He's already missed probably nearly 10. So you'd hope he will have a period where he is available coming up. But we do need an alternative to 09 because we can't rely on him to be able to put in a consistent performance, because Portsmouth and Gillingham were two poor performances for him. And really, I wouldn't have started him last night based on the previous two performances if we'd have had another option, but we didn't. So I think we've got to be wary of that moving forward.
That is the issue. We don't have much, as we said, we don't have much wiggle room in terms of the midfield, because it's like,
no.
Because it's like Neil or 09 isn't fit and you got Embleton as out, then who goes there? Because I don't really know. I mean, I'm not that well versed in all like the kind of the under 23s or who would slot in. I'm not. Oh, that. I mean, we had that Sona. Is he?
He looked. Really,
you said he looked good, didn't you, Matt?
I thought he looked, competent against Lincoln, but in Man United's under 18s or whatever it was, in players. Although he looked good, I did, but it's a completely different situation, isn't it? And I didn't see the under 21s against Newcastle. I think he played in that. But I don't know. Hopefully 09 and Neil can keep going until.
And hopefully we'll have a period from Evans after that where he is going to be fit. But I think on Saturday it's going to be near. It's going to be the same midfield. I think if Pritchard is able to play, my concern is if Pritchard is. Well, it's not really a concern because I think we have the ability to jig it around, but it's just wondering who's going to play that number 10 role.
Obviously
Embleton's still out. But.
Yeah, I guess that if you know push game to shove, Pritchard could play in the centre of midfield. I'm sure he's played there before.
Yeah.
I mean, this is all hypotheticals, like looking a bit further into the season. But it's like we are a bit light there, and it's like I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
Wouldn't be surprised if we're still at this thing where we can't keep Evans fit or whatever. Then maybe in January, depending where we are in the league, just maybe looking at getting another body in the midfield. This is now in. Now that Winchester's like a fully fledged wing
back. We don't want to move him from there, man.
No. He's been great.
No, he has. He's been really good.
Do you reckon Serkin's going to keep his place, or do you reckon they're going to start bringing Hume back in?
I don't know. I thought Serkin had probably. I thought he was a bit off last night. I don't know if it's just he plays a chunk of games. Yeah. Maybe he just wanted to give Hume minutes again.
Yeah.
But Hume seems to be getting more and more minutes.
Which is good.
Hey, it's positive.
Like, oh yeah,
of course. Good when he came on as well.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah. Serkin was class on Saturday, I thought. Last night didn't look as good. But it is an unusually tough few games for someone, I guess, of his age and experience. So I think having Hume there is good. I don't know if it's going to be a case of. Maybe giving Hume a start soon. Maybe not yet. But I think it will be. It's good to have competition there, and I think hopefully it'll put Serkin on. And then Hume was great when he came on last night as well. So I wouldn't be
surprised if he started Hume on Saturday.
Yeah, I'm
thinking that as well. Especially since the run of games we've got coming up, we've got another week where we've got three games in a week. So I think there's going to have to be some kind of
that
rotation.
Yeah. That Rotherham game next Saturday is going to be a big game. That's going to be a
whole tough day.
And then Sheffield
Wednesday after that.
And also, they've got this QPR game in the middle.
Of course.
Which is like, I'm thinking we could actually win that, but it's like, it depends how. It's essentially depends how both teams are going to take it, because it's like, I don't know how. I don't really follow QPR, what they're doing, and I don't know how well they are, but it's like. Are they looking at getting promoted? Maybe they don't want to have this game.
They're doing better than they normally do, I think.
Yeah. But they have got a League One team at home, and they could, if they beat us, they could get a Man City or a Liverpool or whoever's still left in it. Yeah. I don't know. I'd be interested to see how Johnson approaches that game on Tuesday, considering that Rotherham game's pretty big at this stage of the season.
It is, and considering how kind of light we are at the minute in terms of injuries, I don't think
Rotherham and Sheffield Wednesday back-to-back away games in the space of a few days, it's tough, but it's doable.
I think like you say, the only worry we have is the injury, but you never know. By then Evans apparently isn't far away, so he may be fit by then, and then I think we have cover in most other areas, because I think that bar, obviously, the injury to Broadhead. Do we know how far away Broadhead is, by the way?
I don't know. I was just thinking about him. It'd be good to have him back.
He said he wasn't far off the other day, so it might be another week.
Could be in for a shout at QPR, maybe, in preparation to cameo at Rotherham and then serious part of Wednesday, maybe. I don't know. But
yeah.
We just
can't afford any more players being out. We don't want to do what Elliot Embleton did on Saturday and just get himself knacked for three games.
Yeah.
So just don't be dickheads, lads.
Yeah, just don't get yourself sent off. There's no need for it. Calm down. No.
Especially not like that far. Anyway, yeah, that tackle was silly, wasn't it? It was unnecessary. Probably the worst thing, the most annoying thing he's done, I would think, because of how pointless it was.
He's been good. He's been good this season. It was just a bit of a dumb fuck thing to do. But
especially because you get the three game ban for literally nothing. It may cost us. Hopefully it won't, but yeah.
Hopefully not.
Well, prediction time, I think. Tom, you're here for this one, aren't you? So it's going to be nice.
It is going to be nice, even though I can't go to the game.
I am
actually in Sunderland as well, which is even more annoying. So yeah, but I think we'll win. And I think we'll win by 2-0. I think, and I think, unfortunately, for my good friend Nige, I think that'll be the end of him.
I think that could be it. I think it could be the end for Nige. Making plans for Nigel to be sacked.
I really hope it's just one of these straightforward wins against a team that's really struggling. And I hope it's not. I hope we don't end up reverting to like type and somehow conspire to draw. Because, as we've just said, we've got some pretty big games coming up. So get the 3 points on the board on Saturday, and then we can deal with taking on teams higher up the table. And Tom Flanagan is going to score again, and so is Ross Stewart.
That would be good. He nearly scored last night.
Yeah, Jim, he did, actually.
I'm going to go good bet. I'm going to go 3-1.
Ooh,
I'm going to go 2 for Stewart, and I'm going to go for... I fancy another Winchester goal. I'm going to go 2 Stewart and a Winchester. Ooh.
Nice. Okay. I think we'll win 2-0 as well, Tom. Doyle and Winchester.
Oh,
yeah,
Doyle. Like you've been saying Callum Doyle every game, though, haven't you?
Yeah, I know. Keep betting on him. Yeah.
And we can discuss it afterwards in person, Matthew.
We can, which would be lovely. We've got one question that really stood out for me. Daniel McGuinn asked, I liked our fans being in the ice cream van stand at Crewe. What should the stands be called at the Stadium of Light? The Sturks Tasty Sausage Stand, buy one, get one free, Peter Uno Terrace. For me, the Rafferty's Trebles Premier Concourse, I think, would be...
It has to be done.
And you've got to have the Harbour View end at
the Harbour, of course, the Harbour View end.
Obviously. I don't know, like the Illegal Streams North Stand or something like that. but mainly
the Ask Danny South Stand,
the hashtag Ask Danny Stand. Someone won like FIFA 2022 last night.
Oh yeah, I did try. I asked him if he'd ever done a half volley.
Well, it's worth asking. What is?
I think someone could clear what a half volley is. Or
I do think that one of the best things about like naming the stand the Rafferty's Trebles Stand is because that bar is in the centre of Newcastle. So we're just promoting more stuff about Newcastle, and it would just make a lot of our fans very, very annoyed. And that's what I'm here for.
Presumably, Trebles, if required, can be sorted out within an SR postcode.
Also, what they should do is sell Trebles on the concourse and just like see what happens.
It'd be great. I'd be well for that.
Yeah, I think. Well, they're on about bringing, trying to get alcohol being allowed in seats again at the match.
Warm sort of like Plymouth gin
treble,
warm. with a dash of warm tonic on top. No sort of lime or anything. No ice either. That's kind of syrupy tonic that sort of sits on top.
Tonic that's come from a gun and they've not got any bottle. What kind of tonic would you like? It's like fever treat. No, we don't have that. It's just gun. Gun just tonic.
Whatever's in this thing. It's whatever the man brings when
That's what's going in it.
That's a good one. Whatever the man brings, self stand. That could be another good one.
Yeah. Well, I think what better way to end this podcast than a treble gin and tonic in the Rafferty's Premier Concourse? If you go on the match on Saturday, enjoy yourselves. Don't have too many trebles. Hopefully we'll be back. Well, I will be back after the game with Tom. But hopefully we'll discuss it.
In a game I haven't watched.
Yeah, he hasn't seen. But hey, when's that ever stopped us before?
Exactly.
Hopefully we're discussing a Ross Stewart treble. That wins in a week. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your trebles.
Thank you. Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.